Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of my day. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you have been listening already, as you know, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Someone else who's highly intelligent is our good friend Steve Del Bianco, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of my best friends, vice president of the Association of Competitive Technology, ACT, A-C-T, as we often use that term. And as I said, one of the smartest guys I know. And Steve has recently testified before Congress. And Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. And, you know, I get smarter every week when I read your newsletters.
Thanks. But, you know, Steve, I'm imagining, I'm serious when I say this. Steve is a very, very highly intelligent individual. Steve, I mean that. I've always admired your mind. But I'm imagining you up there on Capitol Hill testifying before the members of Congress. And I'm thinking it's like a man playing with boys, mentally speaking.
Yeah, well, you know, the men are the ones sitting up front.
No, I don't think so. I said a man playing with boys. No, there are plenty of smart guys and smart men and women in Congress, but they're not always as smart about stuff as they need to be and maybe as they think they are.
Jim, that's a flattering point to make, but, you know, it's not about being right about all the facts that matters. It's about being relevant to a congressional committee that has a certain sort of objective when they hold a hearing, and they have limited sort of jurisdiction. Let's say the Commerce Committee, which held both hearings last week, the Senate mm-hmm. Commerce and House Commerce, their jurisdiction is strictly over the Federal Trade Commission and the U.S. Department of Commerce. So given that, almost all that you tell them has to be narrowly relevant to things that committee can do.
You got to help them out a little bit with your testimony. If you give them a bunch of stuff that makes you sound really smart, but it doesn't fit into their paradigm or into their mission or the things that they have to do, basically you probably wasted everyone's time, haven't you?
Absolutely. And the questions they ask, I mean, these guys don't ask questions like Jim Blasingame, right? Their questions are usually they mispronounce or actually misunderstand the nature of something as complex as Internet governance. And you have to resist the urge to try to correct the question and just use it as a pivot point to get back on your main points that you want to make.
Right. Okay, now, which committee did you testify in front of?
Jim, there were two hearings last week, which is sort of unusual given that Congress is on a really short timeline in the month of September, right? They want to get back to their districts, especially the House of Representatives, to campaign for the elections in the beginning of November. But they found the time to do a very lengthy hearing in the House last Thursday, House Commerce Committee, and last Wednesday, the Senate Commerce Committee held a hearing on an identical topic. And if you can believe it, the topic of the hearing was ICANN and Internet governance. Is it working?
And now, remind the audience what ICANN is.
That's right. ICANN is I-C-A-N-N. That's an acronym, and it stands for the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. It's a big nonprofit entity that the U.S. government created about 10 years ago to sort of internationalize and privatize the management of the Internet, which prior to that had been something that the U.S. Commerce Department and National Science Foundation had sort of kickstarted with a lot of private sector leadership.
Now, when you say management of the Internet, and folks, I know Steve has talked to us about this before, many times, actually, and we've had other experts to talk about this, but these are things that you and I use every day, ladies and gentlemen, but we don't think about it in these terms. So I wanted Steve to spend a little more time reminding us about this. When you say management of the Internet, you don't really mean the physical technological backbone of the Internet, do you?
No, you know, the Internet's physical technological backbone is managed by telecom providers, the cable company or phone company or wireless company that hooked up your business to the internet, or the cable company that hooked up your home to the internet. That provides your connection to the big cloud of the internet. And then the backbone that hauls internet signals all over the world, again, is internet providers, telecom providers, who through private sector investment and contracts with customers have been able to invest roughly $1 trillion to bring the internet to about 1 billion people. Mm-hmm. And that's all the connectivity. But there does have to be a manager who coordinates the rules. The rules on who gets what IP addresses, mm-hmm. who gets what domain names. What happens if there's a dispute that someone else has got a domain name that's almost exactly the same as my trademarked company name?
It's a little bit like who controls, the phone numbers that are out there. If you have a phone number, you don't want somebody else to have that phone number. You want it to be your phone number. And so the domain names are similar to that. We're going to get Steve to tell us a little bit more about that and explain what he testified about right after these messages. This is important to you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Steve Del Bianco is our guest and our good friend, the vice president, of the Association for Competitive Technology, and also there's another organization out there too.
The NetChoice Coalition.
NetChoice. He's the leader of that group. And Steve, as we mentioned before, testified before the House Committee.
That's right.
The House Committee last week. On the issue of internet governance, and you were telling us about the definition of ICANN and what the job that it has, and folks, if you have a domain name, yourcompany.com, whatever it may be, you work through an organization that is a subcontractor of ICANN, didn't you?
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Like Network Solutions or any of the others.
And that's to register your domain name once you find out it's available, and perhaps to buy other domain names that are similar to it. And then when you renew, you're working through the same set of rules. But, internet governance is far broader than just ICANN. And this is a distinction, Jim, that I tried to make to the committee last week, is that governance implies something much bigger than ICANN has to do. Mm-hmm. I think of it that ICANN is really the internet's manager. It's not the governor, because a manager of this domain name system has to coordinate through contracts with private sector telecom providers and domain name registrants like you and me. And that job of that manager is to keep a simple, single, interconnected domain name system all over the planet and make sure it's growing as new people get on the internet and spend more time there.
Why did this committee want to know about this? What's the itch that they were trying to scratch?
The main driver for this is that at the end of this week, on September 30th, the U.S. government agreement with ICANN expires, and it has to be renewed or amended in some way. Mm-hmm. The agreement I'm talking about is that, remember I said at the top of your show that the U.S. Commerce Department, the U.S. government, sort of formed ICANN
right.
about 10 years ago. Well, the plan was for the U.S. government not to keep its hands on the controls of the internet, but to free it up for international and private sector-driven management. This is as much to encourage the rest of the world to adopt our internet, because that the key here is not to let it splinter, not to let there be, say, a U.S. internet and a separate
right.
European internet with different rules.
We don't need it to really turn into the Wild Wild Web.
Exactly. We want, even if it's wild, we want it to be one web and not
That's
multiple
right.
webs.
That's right.
Think about it, because you wouldn't want to... You would want to know that a domain name is going to resolve to the same website, whether you typed it here or you typed it while you're on a business trip in London, or an email sent from another continent, or a consumer trying to buy your products or research your services has got to be able to get to the right website.
Right.
So to us, an international single internet is so important that the U.S. government, I think, took a bold and correct step of internationalizing and privatizing the management of the internet.
Well,
but that agreement has sort of steps to it, right? As ICANN, as an organization, which now has a $30 million budget and a full staff of folks, as they become more and more independent and mature, the U.S. government cuts more of the apron strings And what Congress needed to figure out is where is the Commerce Department going on this independence of ICANN?
Is this going to get renewed?
It will. It'll be renewed and extended and amended a little bit, probably a 1 or 2 year period. And this is what we had recommended, and that the Commerce Department of the United States government would then sort of advise and oversee ICANN as it continues to build its financial independence and its operational expertise. It's still trying to figure things out, and unfortunately, ICANN has taken its model from, well, from the United Nations.
Yeah.
They sort of run it as a what they call a bottom-up, consensus-driven, stakeholder-sensitive organization.
That's right.
Heavy on process and short on results.
Well, but you sound like you're not very happy with the way it's being operated right now.
Well, you know, to paraphrase Winston Churchill, ICANN is probably the worst form of Internet governance except for any other form that the UN could come up with.
Well, but it could get worse, right? And some of the members of the UN tried to make it worse this summer, didn't they?
They did. In fact, their meeting, Jim, at the end of October in Athens, Greece, for the first of a 5-year set of meetings on the Internet Governance Forum. And they've got an agenda that would just blow your mind. They've got almost 35 different workshops on topics ranging from making the Internet greener and more friendly to the environment.
Oh, no.
Or improving the Internet's responsiveness to the unique problems of gender.
You're really scaring me now, Steve.
But you know what? Let's take solace in this. It's probably just fine for a lot of busybodies to get together in Athens once a year and talk about these issues, as long as they don't try to impose their agenda on the manager of the Internet, ICANN.
Well, but that's the next step. Folks, if you like the way the Internet works, if you like the way the UN works, if you're happy about what the UN produces every year, then you're going to love it being in charge of the Internet. But if you like the way the Internet works, the fact that it just works, you know, that's my first rule for technology, Steve. Whenever somebody says, they suggested I try a new product or whatever, my first question is, does it work?
And, you know, we put that to the committee. We tried to give them a new vocabulary that they could relate to when we testified. And I said there's two things that we out here in the real world care about on the Internet. One is availability, and the other is integrity.
Yep. And when we come back, we're going to tell, I want Steve to tell us why small business owners should care about those two things. And we're going to do that right after these messages. And I'm probably going to use a railroad metaphor. And I know you can't wait for that. Right after these messages, 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Steve DelBianco is our guest. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Steve DelBianco. Steve, tell us about ACT, Association of Competitive Technology.
Trade Association, Jim, that we started about 7 or 8 years ago to represent small, medium-sized information technology companies, consulting firms, training firms, software developers in both state and federal government on making sure policies out there favor our ability to start our firms and create employment and generate successful companies.
And give us the website, please.
www.actonline.org.
And I hope you'll check it out, folks, and find out what they've got going on. As you know, I've been supporting the work of Steve and the president, Steve's president, Jonathan Zook, for a long time, and I encourage you to check it out. Steve, I'm going to give my quick little railroad metaphor. If you wonder whether the UN should be in charge of the Internet, imagine back when the railroad was coming into fore in the 19th century. If every state in the Union decided that they were going to have their own gauge of railroad rails, that in other words, they were going to have one Minnesota was going to have one gauge and Wisconsin was going to have another gauge. And so that would mean that the trains that ran in Wisconsin couldn't run on the tracks that were laid in Minnesota. And all around the country, all 50 states had their own gauges of railroads, rails. Well, that's, to me, Steve, that's potentially what could happen if the UN gets in charge of the Internet. Am I wrong about that?
Sure, and they'll probably take us back 100 years in our transportation technology, too.
Right? Probably so. Why should small business owners care about any of this?
Hey, listen, to use your railroad analogy, the big companies will find a way to deal with the different gauge of tracks, but it's the small business looking to just simply ship something that they pay the price. And I talked earlier about the small business needs to care about two things, and that's what I told the committee. We want availability and integrity of the Internet. And availability is what you said earlier. It just has to work 24/7 by 365 in any language, even while the Internet might be under attack, which it is to an increasing degree. And availability, the Internet's been excellent so far. It's probably 100% uptime with the domain name system, but we encourage the committee to see that ICANN continues to invest in availability. Now, turning to integrity, this means when you click on a link that you actually get to the page you intended to.
Right.
That you weren't redirected to some fraudulent facade, and that domain names are held by their rightful owner.
Which also, Steve, means that when somebody tries to get to your business, they can actually get there.
It's so important, right, for the business owner who has a website or the business owner that wants to make a purchase or look something up from another website. So we brought the committee's attention on this growing integrity gap on the Internet. And again, this committee had jurisdiction not just over the Commerce Department, but also the Federal Trade Commission, which is the U.S. government's law enforcement arm on unfair and deceptive trade practices. So if you see what I'm saying, ICANN can't do much about unfair and deceptive trade practices, but our Federal Trade Commission is supposed to be handling that.
Right.
So we pointed them to the integrity gap, and we talked about cyber squatting, where you go to register a domain name that matches your trademark of your company, and when you bring up the website, well, it looks like someone else already bought it. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They're not a competitor. They don't really have a business with the same name as you.
And they may not even be using the URL.
Jim, in fact, the web page might say, this page is for sale.
Yeah.
Click here to contact the owner to pay your ransom and buy it. Because in many cases, the owner itself simply bought up a bunch of domain names in the hopes that they would make money, speculative money, by selling them to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And cyber squatting has been a tremendous problem on the Internet. When you have a trademark, business name, or product name, and then when you go to get a domain name that matches the trademark, someone else says, that'll be $10,000.
Exactly. And I've run into that. You've run into it. You've had members of your organization run into that, haven't you?
Yes, and one just recently, he's so upset. He's had a company that's been incorporated here in Virginia for almost 6 years.
Right.
And it's Phalanx Technology Incorporated, and his website is Phalanx Technologies. So there was no chance that one was going to be taken. But it turned out that a company in Phoenix run by an attorney has trademarked the word Phalanx and is sending boilerplate lawsuits to basically anybody who has that word anywhere in their domain name.
Mm.
All he's really trying to do is extract $5,000 from my member for
right.
the privilege of having his word in his company name.
Right. Well, and I hope, Steve, we've run out of time. Thank you for the work that you're doing to protect small businesses out on the Internet out there. And keep up the good work, and we'll continue to give you the opportunity to tell us how it's going.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen, with the Association of Competitive Technologies. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.